Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. Since we're on the subject of reading, we have a suggestion for you that's about to come out in paperback. It's a spy story called A Woman of No Importance. During World War II, Virginia Hall, a society girl from Baltimore, managed to find herself consistently one step ahead of the Nazis in occupied France. She had a disability and was known as the Limping Lady of Lyon. But at one point, Virginia was the Nazis' most wanted allied agent in all of France. Virginia faced discrimination at every turn in her career. Her unlikely story to success actually starts with a rejection by the U.S. Department of State. Virginia's acts of sabotage and subversion as an undercover spy paved the way for the rise of the French Resistance and for Allied forces to take back control of Paris. The true story of Virginia Hall is recounted in Sonia Purnell's meticulously researched book, A Woman of No Importance, The Untold Story of the American Spy Who Helped Win World War II. A Woman of No Importance will be out in paperback next week on March 24th, and you can get your books from indie sellers at bookshop.org. Bookshop.org is an online bookstore with a mission to financially support independent bookstores and give back to the book community. We spoke with Sonia Purnell and asked Sonia about how she discovered the remarkable story of Virginia Hall.
Well, really by accident. I was interested in spies, interested in the Second World War, interested in what women did during that time. I stumbled across a mention, a mere passing mention, of a spy with a wooden leg who went into enemy territory, you know, 80 years ago now, and did incredible things. But so often she might be mentioned in dry, dusty documents or old books, but no one ever really looked into what happened. So I started looking, and then I realized that, you know, fact really was stranger and more extraordinary than fiction, because this woman with a wooden leg, she called Cuthbert, by the way, went on to do all sorts of daring do, and, you know, official documents, secret documents describe her as having saved Allied intelligence from extinction, to quote the absolute word. And she did so many different operations, rescued people, mm-hmm. set up networks, blew up bridges, all kinds of stuff.
It's so interesting. You said you just in a passing mention. It reminded me of the book, the story about Henrietta Lacks, who the HeLa cells, that all the cells that a lot of the medicines we have today. And in medical schools, they used to just say they came from a black woman in Baltimore. It was just, a woman reporter like yourself heard that and thought, like, I need to know more about this person. So I'm interested in, because she was a spy, how do you go about finding information about someone whose job is to go undetected?
Well, you become completely consumed by the story for 3 years and you work 100-hour weeks and you make your husband quite cross. But there were all sorts of little nuggets about her, if only you knew where to look. So in official documents, I managed to get some secret papers declassified. I had the help of two former intelligence officers, both here in the States and over in London where I live. And I was able to sort of piece together some of her life there. Then there were all sorts of contemporary accounts, but often they talked about her by one of her code names. She had over 20. So I had to work out that Philomène was the same person as Marie and Germain and Camille and Nicolas and all these other people. They were all the same woman. And she'd done all these different things. It just seemed to be incredible. And then I tracked down her niece, who lives to this day in Baltimore, who was able to piece together, you know, those kind of last little remaining bits that I was missing. And there's some other wonderful material in France. But it just really took someone who was determined to get to the bottom of it, because it was a bit like playing cat and mouse. Even now, Virginia likes to sort of weave a mystery around things. And I would go down a particular lead and think, oh, yeah, this is really exciting. And then discover that all those papers had been lost or mislaid or destroyed. And then fortunately, sometimes I'd be able to find copies elsewhere. But it was kind of a real detective thing. It was a labor of love. I mean, I really wanted this woman to be introduced to the world, because I think she deserves to be. What she did was really incredible.
My guest is Sonia Purnell. Excuse me. The name of her book is A Woman of No Importance, The Untold Story of the American Spy Who Helped Win World War II. So she was really interesting. She was an interesting person from just as a young woman. You could tell she was going to do something with mm-hmm. her life, because, as you say, her mom just wanted to make sure she married into a good family. Would you describe the kind of family she came from and how she managed to escape that life of just being a lady of leisure.
Yes, her mum, like you say, wanted her to marry well. She always had different ideas. She was a tomboy. Listen, she once went to school with an unusual bracelet made out of live snakes. You know, I mean, she was kind of not the run-of-the-mill teenager. She wanted to be an ambassador, to go abroad and to meet interesting people, as she described it. So she went to study in Paris at the age of 20. She crossed the Atlantic, a big thing in those days. Mm-hmm. We're talking 1926. There, you know, there was no racial segregation. There was no prohibition. She had the most amazing time. She met writers and jazz musicians, and she saw a different kind of life and a Europe that she became very fond of. But then at that point, we saw the rise of extremism and ultimately fascism, some of which she saw. She saw fascist mobs running through the streets of Vienna. She crossed the border into Germany, saw some of the paramilitary parades that were happening there. She knew that Mussolini had taken power in Italy, and this really worried her, and she wanted to do something about it. So she pursued a career in the State Department, and she applied to be a diplomat, and she got turned down because that's not what women did in those days. So she had to work as a clerk, and that is when she had her accident, and it was a hunting accident in Turkey. She was out shooting snipe. She tripped on a wire fence, got her foot caught, fell. As she fell, she grabbed her gun and literally shot herself in the foot at point blank range. They thought she was going to be okay, but she really wasn't. She got gangrene in that leg, and on the point of death, they cut the leg below the knee in the last attempt to save her, which they did, although she had another couple of crises after that. And, you know, that awful moment, that moment of carelessness in her life, which changed everything for her, also ultimately made her an extraordinary spy, because it gave her this self-sufficiency, this resolve, this determination to do something extraordinary with her life. And my goodness, she did.
What was her first introduction into covert action?
Well, her first introduction was to war, anyway, was to drive ambulances for the French army. She volunteered to do this on the front line under intense German bombardment. She volunteered to do this. This is before America joined the war, by the way, you know, sometime before that. And it was amazing she survived that. When that finished, when France capitulated, that Germany took over, she wanted to go to Britain and offer her services there, still before Pearl Harbor, still without America being in the war. Through a very, very chance encounter with someone, an undercover British agent, she was put in touch with a secret service. This, I mean, just sounds incredible.
He slips her a phone number.
Yeah, his slips her in a Spanish railway station, like you do. And so this phone number, you know, one of the most important things that guy ever did in his life was, you know, observe Virginia Hall in the station and think, wow, you know, she's something else. And so she was put in touch with this new secret service set up by Winston Churchill, and was sent in, one of their very first agents. They had a rule, by the way, not to send women into enemy territory. Well, they kind of tore up the rule book when Virginia Hall came along, and they just kind of started from scratch because, frankly, you know, surprisingly, not that many people wanted to go into occupied France with no backup, practically no training, no support once you're there, no communication back with base. You know, the recruits were kind of short of supply. So Virginia came along and said, I'll do that. So they said, yes, please. So she went in undercover as an American journalist, but she had all these different disguises and could be four different women within the space of an afternoon, set up networks, recruited all sorts of people, really interesting people, and sort of started, helped to fan the flames of French resistance, which at that early point basically didn't exist. Most French people were just crushed by German occupation and wanted to try and lead a life as normal as possible, but she managed to kind of spur them on. And this is one of the great things that she did.
One of the great details, you mentioned that she went undercover as a journalist. Can you share how she was able to communicate through being a journalist?
Well, so she would write
interesting
articles for the New York Post, right here in the city. And in those articles, because she didn't have a radio operator at this point, had no way of contacting London directly, she would put coded messages within the articles. And so London were able to read these messages in the articles printed in the Post and find out what was happening. Gradually, she found other ways of communicating with London, but that was the first one. And it was a great way of doing it.
My guest is Sonia Purnell. The name of her book is A Woman of No Importance. You mentioned that she called her leg, her wooden leg, Cuthbert.
Yeah, that's right. I'm afraid I can't tell you why. I haven't been able to find that out. But Cuthbert was wood and metal. I mean, nothing like the amazing technical prosthetics you see now. And he was attached to her by these leather straps around her waist, you know. And in hot weather particularly, that was incredibly uncomfortable. They sort of chafed away at her skin and her stump. And I don't know whether you've ever been to Lyon, but it's a town in the south of France, which has huge hills. So there are steps everywhere. And she would have to go up and down those steps the whole time, and that was really painful.
How did she earn the name, the Limping Lady of Lyon, and who gave it to her?
Well, there were various people in Lyon who gave her that name, because she, despite her best efforts, did have a limp, particularly when she was tired. She used to try and take the most enormous steps to try and hide it as much as possible. But soon she was sort of widely called a limping lady. And unfortunately, the Germans found out about this too. And when they sent that message out in 1942 saying she's the most dangerous Allied spy, we must find and destroy her, they not only had a picture of her face, but they knew that she limped. So it was incredible that she managed to elude them for as long as she did, particularly when the Abwehr had a double agent, a priest, who managed to infiltrate himself into her network. So towards the end of 1942, she had to escape over the Pyrenees in one of the worst winters in 200 years with Cuthbert, obviously. Cuthbert was falling apart, the rivets were working loose. But at one point she stopped in a shepherd's hut and managed to signal London saying that Cuthbert was being tiresome, as she put it. Understatement, I think.
Yes.
and the duty officer working that evening didn't know who Cuthbert was, and so signaled back saying, we'll have Cuthbert eliminated then, assuming it was someone rather annoying and dangerous. So she had a sense of humour, but she certainly went through a lot. And I think that crossing of the Pyrenees by itself, as official documents recorded afterwards, it was a record in itself.
You mentioned that Cuthbert needed to be eliminated. Was she trained to kill?
She had a license to kill, and her preferred method was poison pills that would kill you within 45 seconds if added to your food, or your beer, actually. They work very well in beer. I have discovered several occasions when she was able to get hold of a radio operator. She signalled London and said, please send pills, because these were people who were about to expose her to the Gestapo or those who she worked with. So although we don't know, there's no record of her killing those people, she certainly had that license, was given authority, and knew exactly what to do.
This is hard to ask, but because I'm sure there are many answers. Can you give our listeners one example of something she did or discovered that really had a huge impact on the war?
Well, I think that way of forming networks in a foreign country that will eventually form the nucleus of the resistance army was a big thing. And I spent a day at the CIA and they were telling me that the techniques that she pioneered back then are still in use now. And they use them, just for one example, in Afghanistan before and after 9/11. So, you know, that goes way back to Virginia, forming networks in the foreign country behind enemy lines in anticipation eventually of conventional troops joining them. So that was one thing I think was really exceptional. But the other thing that she did that was amazing, she was the most incredibly skillful jailbreaker. So when, for instance, this happened on several occasions, but one bunch of 12 fellow agents were captured, she got them out through all sorts of amazing things. You've heard of The Great Escape, you've not heard of Virginia Hall, but she was more successful, believe me.
The name of the book is A Woman of No Importance, The Untold Story of the American Spy Who Helped Win World War II. Sonia Purnell, thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Well, thank you so much for having me.